something just a wee bit different this morning. And if you guys are up for it, let's. I mean, I've got places we can go, but
how about? I don't think we've ever done this. Question and answer. I had everything all kind of figured out this morning after I got here, and kind of figured out where we were heading, and just during the worship, God, I think it was God, I don't know, maybe it was me. I guess we'll find out. If nobody has any questions, we'll know it wasn't God. What about a little question and answer, and, you know, kind of on topic, you know, what we've been talking about. It doesn't have to be on topic, but, you know, any thoughts, questions? Yeah, now, if it's one of those weird questions like, you know, who's going to get elected, or when's the end of the world going to happen, or something, you know, just... We are in what used to be a Girl Scout camp.
Right, but it's in a lake?
Yeah, we have 112 wooded acres. There's a lake there, a little lake, for fishing and paddle boating, and we have a canoe. And it is just, I mean, it is so incredibly peaceful.
I've seen some pictures.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Yeah, and it's a little lake. I mean, some people want to call it a pond. I am personally offended by the word pond. It's a lake. It's pretty small, actually. But it's a nice little lake. See, it has a dam, so that's why I can call it a lake.
It has a what?
A dam. Yeah. So.
But so you got beavers?
No, we don't have any beavers. I don't think we do. Although there is, purportedly, there is a bobcat that lives on the property. Now, I've never seen him or anything. We have there. The other day, I was mowing out there. Man, you talk about peaceful! Stick the old earplugs in, get on the ride, and mow. I usually don't mow; one of the other guys does, but he was out of town, so I decided I'm gonna go mow. And it's just, he's riding on. And there's a whole bunch of deer right there in the woods, right in front of where I was mowing. And it was just, I mean, it is so cool. I just love it. But yeah, it's an old Girl Scout camp. They're not using it anymore. They closed it down as a camp. They do have it for sale, so we are renting from them. But I'm just really believing that it's going to end up in our hands somehow. Now, I don't know. I might be wrong. Maybe God has something else for us. But I'm just really, really hoping, you know, hoping and believing for that, because there's just tremendous potential there. The cabins they're rustic sleeping cabins. Electricity and stuff like that, but it wouldn't take much to slap up a little insulation and stuff like that and run electricity to them. It just wouldn't take that much money to get it really up to wonderful, you know. I mean, because it's just glorious, and there's trails all over the place, hiking trails. There's a great big, very large log cabin on the property. That the Boy Scouts actually built in the 1920s. So it's really cool. It's just a neat, neat place.
Have you been there in the winter yet?
Not yet. We're about to. It does have heat, so we're good. And then, you know, it's got a nice big worship center. It used to be their dining hall, but it's the roof is one of these. You know, it's a really tall roof. So it actually, when you walk in, it feels like a sanctuary, like a worship center, you know. And we got nice big area up front, and then I made the aisle. It's like really, really wide. So when the girls dance during worship and do the banners and stuff, they're not just up front. They can actually come right down, you know, where the congregation is sitting, and it's just pretty awesome. So, questions, thoughts?
Yeah, I've been waiting for a pastor to say, who wants to go to one of these conferences? Because I've seen several on Facebook.
Yeah, we've been doing them. And you know, the last thing we did.
Even the relatives are picking on me.
There you go, man.
Only the relatives can pick on you. Road trip.
The last event we did was just kind of a worship event, and we had all 12 cabins full.
Wow.
And the cabins sleep 4 each. So we had all the cabins full. In fact, I had to stay in what's our children's church building because I have one of those cabins is mine. I've put indoor-outdoor carpet in it, you know, and... And I usually take a big long one of those orange extension cords, so I have a little electricity. that's for the pump to blow up my air mattress. But I had to give my cabin away. We had so many, so it was good. Yeah,
there might be a bus in our future.
There you go. There you go. Stephen Roach came. That was a blast, man. We had a good time because we got this great big deck out front, and the deck has a railing. Of course, you know, decks have railings around them. We take the middle section of the railing out so that it ends up being a big stage, and then everybody's out on the lawn with their lawn chairs and blankets and stuff. And yeah, so, in fact, this last event we did, we had a worship band called Vital Cadence came in, and it was so incredibly amazing because it was pretty darn hot, but it started to kind of mist and sprinkle a teeny bit. Now, most people would, something like that, we don't want to. I'm telling you what, people were out in the lawn dancing and waving banners and stuff, awesome. Getting rained on. Now, it wasn't a downpour, but it was just enough moisture to kind of cool you down a little bit because it was pretty hot, you know. And it was cool. I mean, where else would you find people dancing in the rain? It was pretty cool. And these are this group we had in there. They're young guys and a young girl in their college age, and they're just totally, you know, into it and stuff. So it was fun. We had a real good turnout, so. It was fun. So what other questions?
What was that fellowship word that you used?
Koinonia. Yeah.
It's starting to come out more and more now.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it more and more.
Yeah.
It's got quite an anointed word to it, too.
Yeah, koinonia.
It's into a closeness.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really, I mean, that's what we're shooting for. That's what we're attempting in our local fellowship is to be more of a family than a church. And that is, it's for us, it's proved to be good and bad because, I mean, we're in the Bible Belt. Some folks that come in as visitors, they come in, they look around, and they, you know, and then they experience one of the services, and you just never see them again because it's not very churchy, and you know, it's like they think we're out of here. This doesn't seem like church because you know, there's no formality or anything like that. It's just more of a big family, but it's good because the ones that are looking for that. Looking for a relationship as opposed to churchy stuff. Mm-hmm. They love it and they stick, you know. So, and we've had a little bit of an influx of adults. So we now we don't just have a bunch of kids, which is great. I mean, I love having all the young people. We actually have some adults that come too. So, I mean, we've always had some, but not that many. So now we've added some more adults, so things are a little more balanced out, and it's good. It's all good.
not that long ago, we took a woman's day. There was four of us, and we just had a blast. And that was one thing we talked about, is that in our bio families, we didn't have the closeness that we have here at church, and that we are very grateful that we have such wonderful people that, like, we have church mom that gives the most incredible hugs in the world that you ship back from, and it's like, you just feel so close. But I have a church aunt that said, I had to have my other aunt, my other mother, my bio mom, to appreciate my church mom.
That's true.
And you actually, it's the weirdest thing that sometimes you just feel like somebody needs you, and you either call them or text them, and they say, it has to be the Lord, because you knew I needed you right at that moment, and it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
And it doesn't matter how old they are. Like I told you, Sam's only 19, and the other day she called me Sunday, and she said, Junior, are you all right? And I said, yeah. She goes, no, you're not. I said, well, you know, it's kind of loud over here where I was living, and I knew I had to take something to stop the incredible pain I was having in my head. And she said, I'll call you at 6 o'clock so you don't miss church. You know, so, I mean, it's just,
that's cool.
There's this, like, connection that I have never known. And, I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church. And my mother's finally stopped pushing for me to come back to the Catholic Church. This is wonderful. And it's just, I never thought I could find that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even before I know I need new music, Marianne gives me a new CD. You know what I mean?
All right.
And then my home health aide, who doesn't go to church, this morning I asked her, I said, I hope my music doesn't offend you. She goes, oh no, to me it starts my day off the best way.
Well, that's awesome.
She informed me that I can put my CDs, now that my CD player decided to stop going on and off. I put it in my computer and I listen to it.
There you go.
And it's okay. It's kind of neat because, you know, when you talk about that connection,
yeah.
I know that we've felt it here.
Yeah. Amen.
It's all gone. As Mary always says, IAG.
I'm going to thank you for writing Apostolic Reformation. The Lord's had me in that book for several weeks.
And really?
It's really going deep.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I don't even know what's in that book anymore. I wrote it so long ago.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Kim,
I need to rewrite it, actually.
And I went back in, and I had all this stuff underlined, yeah. And I said, ooh, and I went back, and I said, wow, and it was like I was ready to let it go deeper.
Oh, yeah,
and
good.
But you also preached on a little bit of
it. I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, Canada. Which really,
yeah.
I believe, well, it hit me on a personal level.
Cool.
Well, that was what happened to me. I read this, and Peggy calls me up, and she says, we got something for tonight because Kim was in Canada. And I went to the bar and I said, yeah, there's something here if it's hitting me, then it must hit somebody else. So.
Cool.
But share with him what you had given.
Pardon?
Share with him so he has a clue.
It was it's right in the beginning. Do you have your copy here?
Yeah. Do you want to borrow?
Yeah.
You're only getting a borrow.
Yeah, well, it's slightly used.
He says that's
like,
true.
So is mine. It's got highlights and underlines and corners turned. And
see, I feel like I need to probably go back and rewrite that because I think some of the content was fair. But
what did you say that?
But it was my
first. He doesn't like it, but I loved it.
It was my first book and it's written really poorly.
We don't care about the way
I learned.
No, it's what you said.
I learned a few things, you know, about writing and the flow of writing since then. So.
The chapter that I felt led to get it to was Crucified with Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And what I was getting was allowing Christ you know, to come up in those instances when you're having a crisis or an offense. I don't recall that in the book. And letting him come up and take over that situation. And because the following chapter was on compassion and the apostolic, and I never thought of that. It's funny, I had read the book, but this impacted me when Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb.
Yeah.
And why he wept was compassion.
Yeah.
And as, and then I went further on, and that's what I was teaching here, is what do we do when somebody around us, and, you know, I've got one at home. It's like, okay, how am I responding? Not too good, Lord. Not too good. So it was really helping me to let the Lord respond and not Gail.
Yeah.
And so I went into those two chapters and just kind of kept relating it to hopefully everybody.
Well, if you recall, my friend Mary Jo came that night.
Yes.
And boy, that was right on.
Really?
Right on.
That's good. You don't know. It was very quiet in here. But it spoke to me. But the crucifixion and what that really... The other chapter that I've since gone into is the one where you talk about inner healing.
So I had
shared this with Jackie about inner healing because I've had some serious wounds in my soul.
Yeah.
And you speak of that, you know, being on the cross. Well, I read that and reread that, and I'm going, what? How do I get that on the cross? You know, the temptation is to do what you say in there. The temptation is to delve into that and make you feel good.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this doesn't feel too good. The way that you explain it is to let it go on the cross and let it be crucified.
See, that? Well, that's the thing that, you know, Jesus dealt with the body of sin.
Yes.
And see, the body of sin is not just sins I've committed.
Right.
The body of sin includes the sins that have been committed against me. Mm-hmm. And see, he dealt with that on the cross.
Yeah, but it's not usually spoken about.
Oh, no, huh?
No.
No.
Why do we have such bad memories of her, even though after we get saved, we're still battling through those things?
And see, that's the lifelong battle of the renewing of the mind. Mm-hmm. Really what this whole life is about is appropriating what was already finished on the cross. Mm-hmm. And just because I have a memory of something bad that happened, and there is a place for... Because see, in the book, what I talk about is there are methods of inner healing that drag you back into the thing, make you re-experience it. What emotions are you feeling? Let's release those. And what I found over time was by doing that, it actually established a stronghold in the soul, as opposed to, okay, at some point, all of us, well, not all of us, but at some point, if I'm struggling with something, at some point I believed a lie along the, and let God point that out, you know. What was the lie that was believed in this? So you experience, let's say someone was molested or something, well, the lie is, well, you deserved it, you know. But let God, at that point, come in, heal that, see that thing on the cross,
amen,
and totally release it. Now, that doesn't mean that the memory will be gone from our memory banks, but we don't have to be under the results, under the condemnation of that, under those things. God can take care of that. Even though we might still have a memory, we don't have to live there.
For me, it was a wound, and I put it to the test just last few days. My husband is a football addict. An addict is correct. well, 55 years of marriage,
yeah.
being, you know, subjected to the football came first,
yeah.
I had all these rules accumulated that I never did anything with.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, you know, I've been reading this, and I hear what it says. So, you know, again, in comes, because it attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The enemy attacks that wound.
Yeah.
And it was a massive struggle to push through it, but I said, I'm going to do it. And it took me a little while, but praise God, it succeeded.
Yeah.
And that was because I had really
yeah.
focused in here on that. So it didn't do the damage that it's done.
Huh.
And I'm believing that eventually that damage is, I'm not going to know it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing you touched about Manassas last night, the half-tribe.
Yeah, yeah.
To forget and mm-hmm. asking God to make you forget.
Yeah.
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 In many things, this has been a trigger for me because I said, Lord, you can't erase the memory, but you can.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't erase it, but you can.
Yeah, that's
you
good.
You can erase it from the wounding part.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you say compassion, in my experience, compassion came in different levels and different ways. And as you were talking about the Lord crying when Lazarus died, well, the first time that that anointing came upon me was maybe 20 years ago when most of you know our young man there, Andy. His aunt, Andy is the guitar player that was part of Grace Church for a number of years, but now when he first came to me, his aunt handed him to me. He was like 5 or 6. And she said to me, Kim, would you anoint my nephew? She was bringing him up. She brought him up from the time he was a little baby. And she said, the doctor said he'll never live.
Hmm. Wow.
Because he had cancer, it was inoperable, it was in the brain, it was in his blood, it was horrible. And of course I brought up my own 2 sons, so now I'm picking up this little boy. Okay? And God's anointing of compassion hit me. It's not Kim, and I'm not putting anything on me. I'm telling you what hit me.
Yeah.
It was his spirit from within. And when they say Christ within you, the hope of glory, I mean, the tears were pouring out of me. I couldn't stop. I held that child saying to Papa, this is your son. I want him to live.
Yeah.
Mm.
What do I do? And my spirit went, I can't tell you where.
Mm-hmm.
And every single week on a Friday night, she would come right back like a bouncing rubber ball. And today he has 2 little girls.
Yeah.
So what does that say? It's not a production of Kim. It's the production of experiencing that passion and that compassion and that his spirit is doing inside of you.
Yeah.
And you've got fruit coming out of you that you haven't known. Because, again, I had never laid eyes on the boy. But see, God's heart was that he would not die, but that he would live, and he did.
And that's what I spoke on that night, because that's exactly what you teach in here when you're being offended, allowing the compassion of Christ. This is a lie. This is a lie, and allow the compassion of Christ to come up.
Yeah.
Well, that takes some doing to get there. It doesn't come easy. And I think that's what you're speaking of. That doesn't come easy. Especially if there's a deep wound that needs healing. It takes repeated doing that over and over before you begin to get some release.
Well, that's the renewing of the mind.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's a process. Actually, the main reason I want to rewrite the book is to change the cover, because I still have brown hair on.
Oh!
It's fine. I tried to imagine, what were you thinking when you made the cover? What were you thinking of?
Oh, the front? I don't know. I don't remember.
I looked at it and I said, what's he doing? I didn't
I think I just liked the colors and everything. I don't know.
Anyway, thank you for writing it. It's really good. And speaking loud, and those areas are really
good,
helping me to deal with some issues that I was struggling with.
Oh, good.
Are you still traveling a lot?
No, not really. I mean, I'll go out a little bit. But this summer I didn't really go anywhere because we had just so much going on at home. But I'm like, this is really my first outing since the summer. I was in Greer a couple of days ago, but that's not too far from us. And then in November I'm going to go out, and then next year I'll start up. I'm going back to Europe in March. Do France. Maybe Switzerland. I haven't really got my itinerary figured out for that, but I'm going to go back in March. Maybe once a month or something like that. But I'm having so much fun at home, you know. It's like...
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's good.
That you said you were. Yeah, so it's been good.
Well, that's why we have him up here, so he's got a break.
That's it. We've been doing things all summer, just left and right, every couple, 3 weeks or something like that. It seemed like something was coming around, and I was going to plan this big week-long Tabernacles thing, and I got thinking, you know, I need a break. Because we've been ministering on rest, you know. And I was getting exhausted ministering on rest. What other thoughts, other questions before we jump in here?
Well, believe it or not, they were asking why you still have the memory and stuff. And I go to a domestic violence group on Wednesday nights, and we were talking about something that happened about a year and a half ago to me, and she said, you needed that to stay in your mind, to let yourself heal. And now that it's still there, but it doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah.
And your faith, it has a lot to do with the fact that you're actually seeing it in more perspective now, and you've let yourself heal, and it doesn't have the same pain that it had.
Well, see, what really, and it's kind of a gross illustration, but what those memories are is they're a little bit like a scab, yeah, you know?
Yes, it is.
As long as you don't pick at it.
I mean, if you
it does get picked at.
If you're constantly picking at a scab, you're going to have an open wound all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So those memories, it's like a scab, but eventually it served its purpose, and it can go away. And, you know, I like what you said, Kim, because, I mean, I forget all kinds of stuff. So why not? Why not eventually be able to forget some of the bad things, you know, that have happened? And just ask God, you know, Lord, I've forgotten all these other things. So
but sometimes you need them to minister to another person.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too.
Yeah. And let them know this is what God did and how he did it. So it gives them hope to get through it.
Yeah, see, there's a difference between a memory that's just remembering something that happened, even if it's horrible. There's a difference between just remembering the facts and a painful memory that takes you back into the pain of the situation and everything, you know.
It's like a woman going through childbirth.
Yeah, my wife...
Having gone through it. But there is a question because, all right, I dream a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This recent dream I just had was actually something of memory that happened years ago when I was like in my teenage years. and it went through, but then it had an understanding to it on what had happened, because I blocked it out for so many years.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you think that was God just showing me and then showing how much he healed in that area for me? Or
could have been, yeah.
You know, because I was like, what the heck? I didn't even know that that all took place.
Could have been.
I didn't feel like I was digging anything up or anything.
Yeah.
How did you feel after?
I was fine.
Well, see, the fruit, whenever there's a dream, the fruit identifies something. And if it brings peace and it brings tranquility and rest, you know that it's accomplished something and you have a new perspective. Mm-hmm. And now that's got a chance to heal. That's when the spotlight, which is what we were speaking about yesterday, when the spotlight comes in and you begin to see something that's dramatized before you, and the Holy Spirit begins to let you see it, sometimes you want to reject it because you say, oh, I want to get rid of this. This is painful. Well, that's when you cry out, Holy Spirit, I need help here. I can't do this. But let your anointing come. And he will. But it's I don't find that it's a pattern that you can depend on, because every time it's different. Mm-hmm. You know, he wiggles out of the box.
That always came first before me.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord showed me, first of all, I had to go to him like you have done. And eventually, I got to the point where I was encouraging him to go hunting. But it wasn't just to get rid of him, because I was happy for him that he enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, by that time he was older, so he wasn't going as often either.
No, the Lord has given me a different perspective on it. It's what I've been left with is the wound, because it goes way back in the time when I didn't know the Lord. The wound, it was so deep, so it takes a long time.
Well, mine was too.
Yeah, and it goes back to my own father, you know, all the wounding from my own father, so it's a lot of stuff in there. But to recognize that my husband needed my prayer more than he needed my judgment,
right.
which I've been doing, and have been lifting that up before the Lord, because he needs healing and deliverance, because he's kind of in a zone in that area where nothing can get in, and it devours his time. So it causes me to pray, you know, in a different way.
Let's look at Hebrews 4:1.
Hebrews what?
4:1. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And jump up to verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And then jump up to verse 9 through 11. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness, the pain of human labors, just as God rested from those labors particularly his own. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience. Now, what is the opposite of rest? Is it activity? What's the opposite of rest in our context here? The opposite of rest.
The opposite of rest is unbelief. I mean, that's basically what we just read here. It's really unbelief, because when we are not resting in Him, resting in His finished work, we want to busy ourselves doing stuff to try and make stuff happen, instead of believing that God has foreordained stuff for me to do. See, the works, there are works for us that were foreordained from the foundation of the world that we are to be part of, that God has designed us for, fitted us for, and that's why we're on the planet. That's our purpose. And that's what we have to tap into, as opposed to the stuff we think needs to get done. Because there's a lot of religious activity being done by people who really aren't fitted for that religious activity, and therefore they get burnt out, yada yada. In fact, I think that's statistics show that one of the biggest problems in ministry is burnout.
Yeah.
You know, and it always amazes me, because it's like, why would you get burned out if I'm resting in God and doing what he's called me to do? I mean, why can't I don't understand burnout. I can understand saying, okay, I've done a little too much, I want to take a break here. But reaching burnout is kind of, I mean, I love what I'm doing. How can you get burned out having a blast, you know? I don't get it. Entering into his rest. And see, that's really where I believe God has taken us as a local fellowship, and also I believe it's a bigger word for the church corporate. Go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1. You know, our illustration, background illustration through all this has been the children of Israel advancing into the promised land, and because that's really what I was asking God. Okay, Lord, I get it, agreement, alignment, advancement, but what are we advancing into? Advancement just for the sake of advancement doesn't mean anything. I mean, if you don't know where you're going and what the purpose of it is. And here's where he brought me, was Joshua 1, 14 and 15. It says, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land. And all the bells went off. This is our purpose. This is what we're advancing into. It's not just so that we can come into this land of promise and kick back and just enjoy the milk and the honey and all. But no, the purpose is for us to help our brethren,
amen,
come into rest. Because I do believe that God's given us at least not the fullness. I don't believe we're really operating in the fullness, but he's given us a glimpse.
Yeah.
And he's given us some foretaste of this rest that a lot of folks don't have. A lot of people, especially a lot of people in ministry out there, are just, they don't know the rest of God, because they're just going gung-ho and they're burning themselves out and wondering what's going on. And see, that's the picture that he gave me, was to help people to come into the rest of God. And as we come into His rest, which is ceasing from our own works, it takes us into the rest of God, the rest of the fullness of who He is, you know? And that's the picture. See, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And that's something that God just really began to pound in my head, is the opposite of rest is unbelief. When I'm all stressed and, you know, doing all that, what is that? It's unbelief.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. It's not believing that God's big enough to take care of this situation.
Mm-hmm. Fear, you know? Also comes right.
Fear, yeah. And that, like we talked about last night,
yep.
Fear is, I mean, you got unbelief and fear hand in hand, yep. Two legs of a something that will propel you to places you don't want to go.
Right on.
You know? And so rest, and we've been just kind of pressing into what is, and I know that sounds like an oxymoron, to press into rest, but that's what it says. Let us labor, therefore.
Yeah, work at it.
And let us labor to enter into His rest. Why? Because we want, well, let's face it, most of us are control freaks. Now, some of us handle it a little better than others, but we like the idea of controlling our own life, our own destiny, our own stuff. You know, that's the main issue with most people, is we want to be in control. Uh-huh. You know. I mean, isn't it?
I like being in control.
Yeah, and it's our, especially in our culture. I mean, that's, we're brought up that's honorable. We are, you know, we, I didn't mind. You know, that's, we just,
deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reality is, you're really not in control of anything anyway. You may think you are, but you ain't. You just think you're in control, because really, God is sovereign. God's sovereignty is this
right.
Is this humongous thing. Yes, we have free will, but our free will is like a little tiny speck, like a molecule in the middle of this vast universe of God's sovereignty. In other words, I can make choices. I have a free will to make choices to do stuff or not to do stuff. But in the vast universe of His sovereignty, He will orchestrate things. Even though I make the wrong choice, He will orchestrate things. And see, His foreknowledge also works to where even when I make bad choices, when I do things I shouldn't, when I disobey, He has all that figured out to where He's going to get me to do what He wants me to do anyway.
Amen.
And He will just orchestrate things to where, I mean, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And see, we might as well just realize it, figure it out, and submit. We are not in control. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into His rest. Because see, the sooner that I figure out that He's really in control. Now, rest doesn't mean doing nothing. I mean, I know people that take this to the point where it paralyzes them, where they never get anything done, you know.
Gee, should I get out of bed today? I better pray about it.
Oh, duh. You don't want to take it to the ridiculous. But we're really not in control. So. Let's keep going with this idea. Where are we? Give me a second here. Rest. It says there remains, therefore, a rest. Hebrews 9,
or Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. There remains, therefore, a rest unto the people of God. And this remaining, that you got to understand, there are many things in life are momentary, fleeting. Maybe they're just intended to be for a season. But rest remains. You know, you might be in a season of this or a season of that, but rest remains. Rest is pre-existent. Therefore, it's something we enter into. See, a lot of us get the idea that, okay, rest means I have to make myself do something. I have to make myself stop. Well, you're still doing something, aren't you? See, that's not this rest. There remains a rest. In other words, rest is Christ. Rest is the Christ life. So it's something I enter into. It's not something I do or don't do. It's something that I simply enter into. It's like salvation. When I came to Christ, it's not like Doug's life was extended with eternal life. No, I stepped into a different life. I stepped into eternity. I stepped into Christ, into His life. And that's what this rest is. It's something we enter into. It's not something we do or don't do. I'm not sure if I'm articulating this
you're
well.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something we got to enter into it. Because it is. It always has been. Because it is the Christ life which understands the absolute total sovereignty of God. And that's something I enter into. And once I enter into, then everything makes sense. And then everything starts to work the way it's supposed to. It is. It's got to be entered into. Now, this rest, it says, there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. It's an interesting wording there. Because in Greek it is Laos Hotheos, which literally means people, the deity. People, the deity. Now, in your Bible it says the people of God. There's no of in there. The people of God, or the people that belong to God. Well, that's not what this is saying. That's not what this is saying. Of denotes origin. No, it is people, the deity. Laos, hotheos. People, the deity. The word of, oftentimes it's ex in Greek, and it means origin, but that's not used here. That word is not used here. Literally, it says that this rest, and this rest is, the word for rest is sabbatismos. Sabbatismos is not about a particular day of the week. Now, if you're one who wants to take a particular day of the week and rest, I'm with you. Go for it. Do it. But that's not what sabbatismos is, being totally consecrated unto God. And if you want to do that 1 week or one day a week, whatever. I just shouldn't have it every day of the week being totally consecrated to God. So it says, there is a sabbatismos, a rest to people, the deity. People, the God people. Now, I'm not saying somehow you become God, but that's who we are. We are God people.
You're in verse 9.
Yeah,
because you kept using the word remains, and I'm going, because in the Amplified that they don't use that word.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There remains, therefore, rest.
Okay.
Unto the people of God. Unto the God people. See, that rest, people who don't understand their identity as God people will not be able to enter into this rest.
Are you following this? But we are to be deity people or God people simply because we have entered into Him. Colossians 3:3, for as far as this world is concerned, you have died and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. And see, that's the only place this rest or this sabbatismos happens is understanding we are deity people. We're God people. We're not God.
No.
But we're God people. Otherwise, I'm going to be a mere human that's trying to handle things on my own. Isn't that what Paul said? Why do you act as mere humans? Colossians 3:3, for as far as this world is concerned, you have died. And your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. There remains, therefore, a rest unto the God people. For when we have entered into His rest, entered into Him, we cease from our own works. Now, the question for most of us is, what are my own works? Because, see, that's different for everybody. That's different because we're all wired differently. You know? What are my own works? See, we were talking, I forget what we were talking about here recently. I love the idea and the concept of being like really contemplative, and I mean, I like the idea of, I mean, give me a monastery, man. Just give me a monastery. But the reality is, I love that concept. The reality is, I'm a little too driven. I think it would drive me nuts. I love the idea of it. I love that. I just, you know, lock me away in a monastery for, you know, weeks or months, and I just, but I think the reality of it is after a few hours, I'd have to, you know, get out and do something because I'm a little too driven. So what are my works? What are my works? It says he ceased from his own works. And see, that's something that I think all of us need to ask God, okay, What are my works, God? What are the things that I, it's all about me. And they might be very good. They might be very good things. But what are my works? And see, carnality can manifest either in evil, bad, nasty stuff, or it can also manifest in very good religious stuff. But it's still carnal. Now, for most of us, hopefully, we don't have a whole lot of the bad, nasty, rotten, carnal, you know. We probably still have a few issues there, but for most of us, our big struggle is the good. The good, which is really the enemy of God's best, you know. The good stuff, I think. Now, is all this just an excuse, a sanctified excuse to be spiritually lazy? Oh, I want to enter into his rest. Is it just an excuse? So we can sit on our laurels and do nothing? No, hopefully not. No. And that's going to lead us up into where I think we're going to go probably tonight. I don't know, unless something else happens. But we're going to look at this rest, and God gave me kind of an acronym, the Radical Essence of Spiritual Transformation. Radical Essence of Spiritual Transformation. There remains, therefore, a rest, a radical essence of spiritual transformation to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works. I think I'm probably going to stop about right there. So that's just a little commercial for
tell me you can be just as productive, could it be in a rest?
Yes. That's it. And when we are
but
really...
But it's finding that key.
Yeah, see, when we're really resting in Him, doesn't mean we're not still doing
right.
things.
Right.
In fact, when I really rest in Him, I'm a whole lot more productive than when
yes.
I'm trying to crank things
Amen.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just kind of like the anointing, when you allow the anointing to flow.
Yeah.
We think, oh, we've got to do this and this and this, and we're so panicky.
Yeah.
But then when we allow Him to do it, it's like...
Yeah.
It's awesome. It happens.
Yeah.
Step aside.
Yeah, and I've seen this happen... Numerous times, especially when you're like dealing with pastoral stuff. Somebody will come to you with this thing that's just, you know, it's like, oh, and Pastor Doug, you got to do something about it. And it's like, you know, my initial reaction is, you know, oh, okay, I'll do, you know, and it's like, and then I get to kind of thinking and praying, and then it's like God will say, chill.
Amen.
Just chill out, you know. Now, sometimes there are some things that need immediate attention. But a lot of times, God will just say, okay, I want you to chill out, and why don't you let me handle this? And we had what could have been a very potentially serious situation, which might have just blown a whole family out of the church. And, you know, my initial reaction was the ones bringing accusation against the other people that are in their own family, that are in the church. It's like, you know, you got some people doing something they shouldn't. The other people are being critical and judgmental. So it's like, what am I? I'm kind of stuck in the middle. So am I going to have to deal with them and tell them they got to straighten up their act and quit doing this? And them I got to deal with because they're being critical and judgmental, which is really, in reality, just as bad as them. You know, and it's like the more that I just prayed and it wasn't but a few weeks later, all of the whole thing got totally resolved, absolutely totally resolved, because you know, I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, in my mind, this critical judgmental stuff is probably worse. And what's happening here, you know, but I didn't have to deal with any of it. It all resolved itself.
The Lord took care of it.
The Lord took care of it.
Yeah. You didn't have to stick your nose
but
in it.
But you rested.
I rested.
You learned how to rest.
I learned that.
That is a huge key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not procrastination either.
No, it's not.
Yeah, we can talk about procrastination later, but that was humor. So, it's not procrastination. Because I am good at procrastinating. but it's not even sanctified procrastination. It's resting in that God is going to work this thing out. Now, there are times when stuff comes up and He gives you something that needs to be done, you do it and it solves it. But there are times when you know, I just got to, like, you know, here, I think I probably shared this last time I was here. There was a time last year where I was looking around in our church just thinking, holy cow, this is not working. I've had it. Is not working. I'm about ready to throw in the towel and just go back to traveling, you know. And so basically, I just went off to Europe for a month. And it was the worst possible timing, you know, because it seemed like everything was just falling apart and that kind of stuff. And you know, when I came back and all the problems had been solved, everything was, and it was great. We had new people that had showed up, you know, while the month I was gone, and I'm walking in, and there's all these new people, and hi, I'm the pastor, you know. You know, they've already settled in, connected with people and everything, and it's, you know, so there, when we enter into His rest, things work a whole lot better. They really do.
I just wanted to share a couple of things. You were talking about the rest and being productive in that rest. Now, yesterday in the morning after a session, you know, Pastor Kim said, just rest for the day. Well, what is resting for the day? What does that really mean? Go home and, you know, take a nap or whatever. But for me, I didn't do that particular way of resting. It was a productive resting, and it was things that I had procrastinated, you know, but I was able to rest in Him and get those things done. another example, when Bob, back in February, had to have an operation, he had a valve replaced, and so we believed that that's what God wanted for him, to have that replaced. So for me, instead of just resting in that decision, you know, it was go to the hospital every day, make sure everybody was doing what they were supposed to be doing. Like, I have any control over what the doctors and the nurses are doing, but, you know, you get that fear in your mind, well, this is not their husband, so they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. So then it went from that to a rehab center, and forget that. I mean, they knew nothing. And then, you know, then he comes home, and I was still in that caretaker mode. And that just went on for months and made myself crazy.
You know?
And, you know, the Lord really had to come down and kind of give me a little slap in the face and say, you know, this is not your child, you know, he's a man.
Yeah.
And, but still need wisdom to know, you know, what to back off on. And there's, you know, know when. And then just do it. And then in the midst of that, my son came back home to live. So I thought, good, fresh meat, you know. I can really get my hooks into this one because, you know, circumstances were in his life that, hey, Mom just needed to come in and figure it all out for him and make
absolutely.
It better.
Yeah.
Well, he's 34 years old. He doesn't want that. He doesn't, I'm going to say doesn't need it, but he doesn't want it. So, you know, at some point in time, got to enter into that rest and let God take care of it. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work, but God's got the plan. So that's where we are.
Yeah.
Resting.
Well, she just triggered on it because with my daughter and the circumstances that we were in with her having a child at such an early age, and it was just, you know, a lot. But when I stopped trying to be the controller for her, not so much for the baby, but for her. And I started taking my hands off is when I noticed the Lord has been drawing her to Himself and dealing with her on His own without Mom meddling. You know, like she'll nonchalantly tell me, I had a dream last night. No, but before there was absolutely no communication on anything to do with God or anything like that. Roll my eyes. But now she's like opening up and it's, she's more open to the things of God now and she's more in tune on being a mom than she was then.
Oh, that's cool.
Because Mom wanted to be, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. You know, I was panicking because I didn't want him to lose anything either.
Yeah.
But then I know that it was hard because of her mentality. But only God could change that.
Yeah.
Jack had to get, you had to take your hands off of it and allow him to do it. And that was not an easy task for a long time. But now, oh my goodness, amazing. So yeah, I guess I did enter into the rest. I'm like, how do I do this? But now I guess I had been walking in those areas.
Yeah, and just so you know, there are not three easy steps to enter the rest of God.
Yeah,
because it's different for everybody because we're all wired different.
Yeah,
you know. But he really is in, he really even, the problem is he doesn't always do things the way we want him to do it, you know. I mean, here a while back we had, what was it? Oh, my daughter had procrastinated on, and she didn't get it from me because I still have all of mine, so she didn't get procrastination from me. But she had procrastinated on all of her stuff for going to college, you know, financial aid and getting all that worked out. And here it's like the week before she's going to college. And I mean, way back when in the spring, or early summer or whenever it was when you're supposed to be doing that, I kept saying, Vanessa, are you getting stuff, you know, have you done your FAFSA? Are you getting stuff rolling for, oh yeah, I'll get to it. Well, she put it off to where it's like a week before she's heading to college. She doesn't know if she's got financial aid. And, you know, college is pretty expensive and everything. So my wife, my poor wife, who is the most responsible person I know. I mean, she has learned to enter into rest, but she still is, you know, she fixes things. And that's a good thing, most of the time. Well, she's just poor thing, and she tells the story too, so that's why I can tell it. I'm not telling on her. I'm just repeating what she has told many times. She just basically went into freak out mode to where, okay, well, I can get another job. I can do this. I can do all this. Yada yada. I'm working. I can scrape up this money for Vanessa's college and blah 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 blah. You know, and it's like, and I kept telling her, dear, God always comes through. He always comes through. Have we ever been in a situation? Now, we've been in plenty of situations, but have we ever been in a situation where he has not come through? You know? And, because, you know, a week before school, you know, everybody else that's put everything off, they're calling financial aid. So you call them on the phone and I mean, not are you just put on hold for 30 minutes. You're basically given this message that our queue is so long that you're not going to talk to anybody, you know. Rots are ruck. And I mean, they just told you up front, you know, go online or whatever. But at any rate, they finally, you know, and it all got taken care of because we prayed at church one night and just agreed, and the next day actually made a call, actually got through to a real human being, and all we had to do was talk to a certain person, and they put a, because all of our classes were going to be dropped if there was no money, you know, and got to the right person that listened to the story, because I mean, it was just favor, and basically they put a hold on everything, and everything was just fine. And, you know, after that, financial aid came in, and life just kind of went on. And it's like, and she, I mean, she's told this story many times that, you know, she was going to fix this thing, and she was, you know, but it just wasn't fixable. But God always comes through. He just always does. I mean, if we trust in him and we rest in him, he will come through. Might not always be the way we think it's going to happen, but it works. He does. Amen. And it's a whole lot more better to rest than to be stressed.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And when you spell stressed backwards, you know what it spells? Dessert. So I think we ought to go eat some lunch and have dessert.
Yeah, it's definitely the humor.
I'm serious. Did you spell dressed backwards. Desserts, man.
But dessert should always be first anyhow.
Well, that's what I think, you know.
That's it. You got it.
I
want
to go without dessert.
Yeah, you're not
going to
be here Sunday.
Oh, dessert.
Oh, they changed it. Fellowship Sunday's this Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess we hadn't really got into it. I will have handouts for tonight.
What is that?
This is what we're going to look at. Is the root, the radical essence. That's what radical means, by the way. Radical is just not wild and crazy. The word means the root of something.